Shalom, אנחנו קוראים מתוך
הספר. We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 445, the introduction to the book Panim Meirot Masbirot, item 9. You can ask questions at kav.tv, and selected questions will be live. Kabbalah for the Student, page 445, item 9. In return for that, we're privileged by him to have been rewarded with the spirit of the Baal Shem Tov.
So Baal Shem Tov explains to us here in the introduction to Panim Meirot Masbirot that it is an interpretation to the book Tree of Life by the Ari. He explains to us the order of how the wisdom of Kabbalah has come to us and how we should be alert, aware of all those people who brought the wisdom to us, because thanks to them we are really able to merit spiritual life. So we spoke about the earlier ones and then the Ari and how the whole method came to us. So what's after the Ari? Wait a minute. What does it mean that he gave his greatness? Why do you start from the middle of the sentence? What did I say?
Item 9 again?
No. What did I say? I said, what happened after the Ari? So you're saying whose greatness? Go with me. A bit more.
Item 9. In return for that, we are privileged by him to have been rewarded with the spirit of the Baal Shem Tov, whose greatness and sanctity are beyond any word and any utterance. He was not gazed upon and will not be gazed upon except by those worthy that have served, that had served under his light. And they too only intermittently, each according to what he received in his heart. It is true that the light of his Torah and holy wisdom are built primarily on the holy foundations of the Ari. However, they are not at all similar. I shall explain that with an allegory of a person who is drowning in the river, rising and sinking as drowning people do. Sometimes only the hair is visible, and then a counsel is sought to catch him by his head. Other times, his body appears as well, and then a counsel is sought to catch him from opposite his heart. So it is the matter before us. After Israel has drowned in the evil waters of the exile in the nations, from then until now, they rise and fall, and not all times are the same. At the time of the Ari, only the head was visible. Hence the Ari has troubled in our favor to save us through the mind. At the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there was relief. Hence it was a blessing for us to save us from opposite our heart. And that was a great and true salvation for us. And for our many sins, the wheel has been turned over again in our generation, and we have declined tremendously, as though from the zenith to the nadir. In addition, there is the collision of the nations, which has confused the entire world. The needs have increased, and the mind grew short and corrupted in the filth of materialism, which apprehends the lead. Servants ride horses and ministers walk on the earth, and everything that is said in our study in the above-mentioned Masechet Sutta has come true in us for our many sins. Again, the iron wall has been erected even on this great light of the Baal Shem Tov, which we have said illuminated as far as the establishment of our complete redemption. And the wise at heart did not believe in the possibility that the generation would come where they could not see by his light. Now our eyes have darkened. We have been robbed of good. And when I saw this, I said, it is time to act. Thus, I have come to open widely the gates of light of the Ari, for he is indeed capable and fit for our generation too, and two are better than one. We should not be blamed for the brevity in my composition, since it corresponds and adapts to any wisdom lover, as too much wine wears off the flavor, and the attainment will become harder for the disciple. Also, we are not responsible for those fat at heart, since the language to assist them has yet to be created. Wherever they rest their eyes, they find folly, and there is a rule that from the same source from which the wise draws his wisdom, the fool draws his folly. Thus, I stand at the outset of my book, and I warn that I have not troubled at all for all those who love to look through the windows. Rather, it is for those who care for the words of the Creator, and long for the Creator and His goodness to complete the purpose for which they were created. For with the will of God, the verse, "All those who seek me shall find me," will come true in them.
This means that after the Ari, the great Kabbalist Baal Shem Tov rose, and after the great Ari, which is still unparalleled today, and from him onwards, we have all this work of the Creator. I would put it this way. Just like the Ari opened the system for us of spirituality, and then came Baal Shem Tov with spiritual work. This way, perhaps it's similar, but it's somewhat similar. Similar to Baal HaSulam and Rabash. Baal HaSulam mostly developed, well, he did a lot with his essays and articles, of course, but the main work was explaining the spiritual system. And the Rabash mostly clarified the work of the Creator. So, Baal Shem Tov, there's the teaching of Baal Shem Tov, he spoke about the worlds and souls and sfilot and the lights that clothe in them and the work of the person. However, it's all revolving around the work of the person from bottom up. Whereas Ari, Baal HaSulam, they're more focused on top-down. This is the type of the souls. It's like also how Baal HaSulam explains to us about Rashbi and Rabbi Abba, that some belong to the surrounding light, others to the inner light. But however it happens, the teaching of Baal Shem Tov today is not being dealt with. And why does Baal Sulam refers to the Baal Shem Tov here and not the teaching of the Ari? Because the teaching of Baal Shem Tov refers to mostly the work of the individual. And so all the work of the Creator that we are engaged in comes from him. And so almost none of it is left. The books remained. The fathers of Hasidism wrote about the work of the Creator, wondrous books, and then the decline of the generations was working throughout these 400 or 500 years almost, putting us in a point where almost no one knows what is the actual content, the inner content of those books. And so, the time has come where there's general darkness and a collective crisis, and the state from which we can finally begin the correction. Yes.
A question by a student from the US: why do new generations need new books? If the study is simply a virtue, why isn't the Zohar enough?
Zohar ze makor.
The Zohar is a source. In general, there's a question. Why specifically the Zohar? Why? What about all the other books? The Zohar is sort of the foundation from which many other books originated. All the books of Kabbalah. And therefore, the Zohar means this higher radiance that comes to us, of course, through the connection, but more from the interior of the book. And therefore, I don't think that it's sufficient, because the type of the souls is now different. They can't today be treated and developed only by the Zohar. Imagine that you're approaching a person, you're shoving a book at him, and you tell him, this is your all-purpose remedy. Okay, so he puts it on the shelf, or he opens it up, he doesn't see anything there. It doesn't speak to him. It's either legends or some nice stories or something that is completely delusional or imaginary, that, you know, what's the world it's talking about? What is it about? You have to prepare the person and prepare them from where they are. What is of interest to them? What pains them? What's pleasant for them to hear? You have to give them something that they have a desire for. Otherwise, the vessel won't work. He won't see, he won't hear, he won't respond. He has to have a lack for that book. So, the lack towards that book means that the book is ready for his lack. If he wants to discuss economics, then you have to give him this kind of excuse, Zohar for economics, for healthcare, for education, for relationships, for, I don't know, is having the best hairdo. It doesn't matter. You need to approach the person's lack. If he has a certain lack, you have to adapt yourself to his lack. That's it. This is what the recent shattering gives you as work to be done. These are the broken vessels. Connect to them. What do I care about? I care about being thin. I don't care about anything in life but being thin. I want to weigh 40 kilograms. That's it. 90 pounds. So I want to approach him with his lack and let him know that he can weigh 90 pounds if he engages in what you bring him. Why do we have to do that? Because the shattering reaches that stage, that point where they have these silly desires and goals that are really unnatural, against nature, against any reason. And you have to be ready for contacting them. Otherwise, you have no access. Just wait. In the next generation, you'll see so many mutations of people's aspirations and goals that you won't even know how to approach them. In the meantime, somehow, in some way, we can. But we have to follow that in each and every generation. Just like a doctor, he has no choice. If there's a new disease or a new virus, they have to start testing and adapting and seeing how to overpower it and overcome it. And it's the same with us. You can't just stay on the level of the Book of Zohar. No. You have to approach them. You have to speak that way to them, that it'll be interesting to them. The upper one is upper in that he dresses into the lower one, integrates in the lower one, processing himself like some, I don't know how to put it, like a chameleon or something, something of that sort, you know. He takes the lack of the lower one and adapts himself, shapes himself to be in the form that where with which he can bestow upon him. Why does the woman have breasts? She needs it? She doesn't. It's only for the purpose of feeding the lower one. This is why this system has been developed in the upper one. You understand? Each and everything that exists in the upper one is only for the sake of the lower one. In and of himself, he is chafetz chesed, delighted in mercy. And that's why we have to approach the correction from now on in that manner. And we can't say that we can't step down to their level and they can't hear. You can't give. They are what they are. Don't speak towards the broken vessels and say they're wrong. They're exactly the way they're supposed to be. The Creator broke them to the final form. At this point, there will be even worse forms. But for your generation, you have to be ready to contact them and offer them the method of correction and treat them and take care of them just like babies, not demanding anything from them, only learning from their responses how to make that contact even better.
Ken.
Yes.
To continue precisely that same clarification about how to adapt our explanation, our contents to the public, he gives the allegory here about a drowning person. Should you catch him by the head or by the heart? In our generation, in our time, can you maybe elaborate on the right relation between these two?
Both.
Both together?
Both. Some are that way, some this way. You know it from yourselves. More through the heart. More through the heart. But still, some, you know, the approach to them should be through the mind. But it's mostly the heart. Most, the vast majority of human beings are not evolved. Well, what do I mean by not evolved? I'll tell you. It means that their ego is blocking their mind. They can't. It's not about. These are simple facts. That's the way we are. We are like that as well. The ego blocks the mind, blocks their head. They can't see further than their egos. And then they're miserably limited because they may have great potential, great abilities, but the ego stops them. Let's say they want power, control, something, you know, and that's it. And then even though they could have blossomed, they're limited. The desire to control forces them. And so, this is just as an example, that we're very limited in working towards the mind, but with the heart we can unlock the mind. So we need to work on the heart. And working on the heart is only through integration with the others, with the friends, and as a result, with the broader audience. They must enter our hearts in a way that we won't be able to stop caring for them. That's the problem. And then it means that you have integrated with them as an upper one towards the lower one. I like Liol because he feels the answers within.
You said to integrate with the friends, and out of that to integrate with the public. How does the integration with the friends help me integrate or mingle with the public?
How the integration with the friends helps, because you learn how to integrate in general.
A
person who prevents himself from integrating with his close environment also can't open his heart to the audience. Also, opening it is impossible. The light does it. But still, making an effort towards it. Making some effort towards this. This is a problem. Yes.
It can also work in the opposite direction.
What?
Integrating with the public, and from that we will learn how to integrate with the friends, or?
It works that way too, yeah. Sure. It says, from all my students did I learn.
How can we watch out so that the integration of the public will raise them rather than lowering me?
That relies on your preparation in the group, in relation to the mission. When you're integrated with them, there's a bidirectional work here. When you step down to their level, you have to really integrate and assimilate in them as if you're literally one of them. And in that, you are seemingly in danger, because you're just like them and you have no chance to ascend. On the other hand, you have the friends who are on the shore, and so they pull you out. The upper one that steps down to the lower one becomes like him, identical to him. He has no chance to rise back by himself if he integrates and reaches the degree of the lower one. Now you understand what it means that the upper one that goes to the lower one becomes like him.
So who guarantees that I'll come back from that river?
Arvut, mutual guarantee.
What? Practically, now that I'm...
This is practically called devotion, that you devote yourself to the group. When you go down, integrating with the lower ones, you become like them and even lower than them, because you've come there with some discernment and a broader, wider kli, sure.
So if now
you can be very successful among them, being among them as equal, on the same layer, kind of being the first, you know, the leader in some, I don't know, whatever, political party, movement, whatever it is. Yeah.
Oh, I see that it's possible to truly enter and be at their level and be carried away. But
yeah.
But what guarantees that I want
the contact with the group, that the group won't let you go? But on your own, you're lost. There.
Final question. Tomorrow I'm going to integrate with the public, to truly go and swim in their desires, talk to them about it, I don't know, and really be in whatever they are.
Yes.
What do I do beforehand? Because I'm really speaking practically beforehand to strengthen myself, to tie myself to the group, read an article, watch. Is there some? Is that a kind of preparation you have in mind to really think about how I'm going to approach that action? Not in general, practically too. I know that I'm going to enter deep, you know, right now. How do I, what should I do practically with my body?
You have to agree with the friends in advance that they'll care about you. You have no other thing to do. If we are truly talking about the ideal state, one, the upper going down to the lower becomes like him. And it's good. It's very good to feel that. It's really, everything goes away. Whatever you had, you're just something new. The internality just leaves, and that's it. What do you want?
I wanted to ask a question.
Oh, you want to integrate with others' problems?
Oh, surely I want to integrate with them.
Yes.
My question is, you said earlier that we approach a person according to his desires, whatever he wants. And I wanted to ask, if I know that what the public is asking for, it's not good for them. Should I still give them what they want?
Good question. You have to promise them that they'll get what they want. Promise. Otherwise, they won't hear you. Sure.
Well,
okay. Now, start with that. Just tell them, in order for us to get to what you want, we need to do this and this and that action. Right? To read something, discuss things, some workshops, and then we'll reach that. We'll see how we actually do it. So let's do, say, you know, 5 sessions. And we'll move forward. That's it.
Thank you.
And through these sessions, they'll already change. Yes.
When I come
to the audience, I integrate with them, and if I prepared myself in advance, my friends pull me out. Now, the audience themselves, do they change what I do with them there? Does it raise them, elevate them?
Again?
I approach the people with a certain goal, intention. I start working with them, integrating with their desires, working with them.
No, with what intention, with what plan do you come to them? You come to them in order to just mix with them? Or to explain something to them so that they will integrate with you or you integrate with them?
Yeah, what I care about is that they will integrate with me. How does it work?
It's not going to work. First, you have to integrate with them. In fact, this is called that you are asking them what are the problems they have, what are their desires, and you position yourself in a state where you know how to solve these issues and you're willing to solve them, or at least help them solve them. This is called that you are actively integrating with their problems. Or it could be in a passive way. Maybe you just come there and you participate. in consoling them, you know, like when somebody dies. They are crying that they have nothing, and you're also sitting there and crying with them. That's good as well, right? One who participates in the sorrow of the public, it is written, merits the consolation of the public. Fine. But actually, after you participate with them that way, whoa, too bad, this way, afterwards you start more actively. But if we do this, maybe we should try that. Maybe how about this, how about that? This way you begin to bring them to a state where it is possible to make a change. And later, with the questions, with all kinds of things, you start showing them that, yeah, it's actually not a problem at all. Let us maybe do it this way, and then you bring them to the realization. This way you turn things around so that it is possible to start talking about the correction. When you talk about the correction, you should also prove to them calmly that they have nowhere else from which to hope for salvation. No one is going to help them, no one is willing to help them. Rather, everyone just want to take more out of them. So everything is in their hands. What is in our hands? How can we still do it? Well, each shall help his friend. That's the only thing we can do. How will we enlist such forces? And everything should go in that direction gradually. Yes, Tons.
Rav, et ils rencontrent des problèmes d'intégration. Est-ce que l'éducation intégrale peut les aider?
There are many French people who are now making Aliyah, coming to Israel, and they are actually running into problems in terms of absorption. So will integral education be able to help?
I'm sure that it can. I don't know what their problems are. I don't know them. I really don't know them. Even though I even have relatives in France. I visited there more than once. And it's not simple. That country is very different from Israel. Their culture, their approach to life are very different than in Israel. It's hard. It's hard for them. I don't know what exactly is the difficulty here, but in general, such, you know, moving, such a transition is difficult for people. Now, can integral education help with that? Certainly it can. Because, as you can see, as usually they go and try to organize their own environment. Here it's in Netanya usually, in what city? And also here, in Emma Moshavot, it's a neighborhood in Petah Tikva. Oh, I didn't know that. In Ra'anana, in Netanya, and there are several such communities in Ashdod, in Ashkelon. There are such places where they usually concentrate and at least try to be with people who are similar to them, other immigrants. But I think that there's a good chance for working with them. I don't know how justifiable it is, because the people who come here, nonetheless, they're going through this transition. They have all kinds of problems. And they think for the time being that what they have here depends on the transition, on the new place, on the weather, all kinds of things. They still don't connected to, you know, it's hard to tell them that it depends on the lack of connection in the society. on the one hand. On the other hand, they're usually willing to agree with that faster. So we need to see. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. I don't know this structure.
If we will share the problems with you and explain them, can you present solutions to them?
You think that if you understand the problems, you won't be able to do it by yourselves? But I'm willing to hear. First of all, we have to go back to the previous question. Is that what we should be doing? For people who are now undergoing this absorption, taking their first steps in Israel, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't think so. They need to first settle here, find work, an apartment, children, education, and all of these things. There are lots of such things. And also the air, the atmosphere is, until a person really settles in, I think it's premature to come to that, to such a person and start shaking him. I don't think so. Maybe he might go along with you for several months, but later he'll leave, because, again, he'll have his own life and all kinds of... It seems to me that, no, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. It's not a state where it is worthwhile to jump on them. Yes.
So how is it possible to bring the French closer here in Israel?
The French people who are here already, who have been here for years, certainly we can approach them. Even though it's a kind of people that is not simple. Not simple. The French are unique in the fact that they have excessive pride. It is typical of them. I'm not saying that it's good or bad. Every nation has something that is prominent. In them, it is pride. Where from? Why? Well, it's just like that. That's it. Every nation has something else that stands out. It comes from the spiritual roots. So every nation, everyone have their... you can't compare one nation with another nation. So, yes, Iran.
We have many friends in the groups around Israel in different circles, meaning some people are closer, some are with us every lesson, some are farther. Some come, say, on Sunday, and then if he doesn't come for 2 weeks, then it's like the story about the one who goes to his rabbi and five times and misses twice. And so those who are joining the lesson and from their circles, they don't necessarily understand the spirit of what we're doing and everything, all the moves that we're making, and we're trying to make a lot of efforts to collect all the friends and gather them in a convention of unity this Friday and the next. So how do we explain to the people, especially those in the farther circle, why it's important to come and integrate in the process and the move that we're all making, and so that we're all in the same one collective motion?
To be part of the correction process, even in a way that's almost passive, almost. I can take part as a driver in some activity. I can be a guard, in such a peripheral manner. There are such people who like such roles, such chores. Let's say somebody is sitting behind the mixer and creating the whole atmosphere for us. But he's sitting back there, hiding on one hand. It's comfortable for him, but nobody pays attention to him. On the other hand, he's the one who decides, who determines. He's working in that, turning the knobs. He's active, like all the photographers, they're all inside of the action, but behind the camera. So that is good as well. It's man's nature to be in that. I would have also liked to, but I have no choice. I have to be completely the way I am, revealed before everyone. What am I trying to say? That we need to draw them into such roles, you know, such that are suitable to the person. Give him something that he's capable of doing. Yes.
But it's not just in the groups. Actually, here in Petah Tikva, Israel, how do you bring a person to a state where if he feels that something is happening in the group, he won't wait for, you know, being told what to do, and okay, now I heard, but now I forget. And you can really see examples of friends in the group that until they understand exactly where everyone's going, where they can put themselves in, they don't let go. They don't become loose.
That's very good.
But how do we bring all the friends to that state?
No. You can't. There are different types of people. There are people who truly, there are such who are like Einsteins. There are those who discover things. There are those that convert them into all kinds of instruments. There are people who work with the instruments. And there are people who just know that I need to press this button. If you ask me, I hardly even know what buttons to press on my computer or in something else. I care more about what's inside. So much so, you know, it used to be so attractive for me. I wanted so much. I had to know what is inside and how the electrons are running around between these different electronic devices or circuits. Now, I don't care about any of that. I don't want to study any of these things. I wish that it would just work by itself. So you need to bring a person into a state that he likes, that he enjoys, that he's capable of, and then tell him, oh, you did such a nice work, really, it's more important than everyone, even though all he knows how to do is to press the button. That is the art of management, of motivating people, find for each person the place that is suitable for him, that he would enjoy.
Okay, perhaps I'll ask about myself. How do I develop the sensitivity now to the friend's state? Because I'm always amazed again and again to see that there's a friend that is perhaps next to me for the last 3 months in the morning lessons and meals and everything. And when I speak to him, I see that he's not in the process, he's not in the know. He's in some general thoughts or some side actions. How do I develop the sensitivity of putting the friends in my environment? First of all, identifying that, and secondly, bringing the friend into the place where all the group is. And
no one can be sensitive to another. Rather, each shall help his friend, only in such a reciprocal manner that we simply receive it from above, and then we start carrying it out artificially until it opens. There's no choice. Only in such a way it works. Simply, artificially, we start working, and from lo lishma we reach lishma. You're talking about changing the approach, changing the attitude, changing the desire from one person to the other. It's only the reforming light that does that. But the exertion must be there. Doesn't matter in what form, even in the most simple, primitive form.
Ken.
Yes.
No.
Well,
For the past 3 weeks, I'm really busy with talking to the public, to people, and it turns out really that mostly the lack of people have is just to relate to them. You see, the answers from people is really what they need is attitude, relation to them, maybe just to kind of ease the pressure that some friends feel in terms of going in this direction, that in the end it's just expressing some relation towards people. So maybe just to emphasize this.
We should really take that into I can't. Yes.
I wrote, as you said, they have to enter our hearts so that we don't stop care for them. What does it mean? One of the phenomena is when we start some contact with the people is that we lose it. What does it mean that they have to break into our hearts so that we don't stop caring for them?
You try to integrate with their aspirations, their desires, their lacks, their problems, in such a way that you don't stop worrying about that, caring about that.
But why are they not entering our hearts? Well, what's missing in us? The problem is probably not in them, it's in us.
Certainly, your heart is obtuse, it's blocked. You only care about what has to do with you. Your children belong to you, you care about them. Do you care about other people's children? That's the whole issue of the shattering. Yes.
Now, when we're going to meet people, how do I prepare myself so that my heart will open to them properly?
You need to think a lot about the fact that there is no public. I am going to collect the pieces of my soul. Either I remain an animal, or I need to go and collect the pieces of my soul. That is all. Simple. There's nothing other than that. Don't look at the bodies or anything else. Well, we're coming close to the end. Do we have anything else?
The question to conclude, John from Chicago is asking, in the end, what determines the ability to dress into the people's lack? Will it be attained only through practice and exercise?
Yes. Practicing helps a lot, and repeating the same exercise is what develops us, and we know that. The art comes actually by us repeating the same actions again and again, repeating the same thoughts. And each time, we must not forget that it is 10 sefirot, the same 10 sefirot, the same structure, but something changes inside. And that thing hasn't changed yet, it hasn't changed yet, it hasn't changed yet. Just like, you know, you feed, force feed the geese, but in the end, until 10 sefirot times 10 become 100, and that's already a new partsuf. And there it's also 100 times 100, and again, it creates a new partsuf. This is how it works. Therefore, comes the issue of the 10,000, but, well, we're going to learn about that. All right, so I think that today we talked a lot, and now what we need to do is execute it. This is what these great ones left us for us to do from Adam HaRishon, throughout the generations, throughout all the different times. It came to us from the Ari, through Baal Shem Tov, Baal HaSulam and Rabash to us, and we are now standing before the action, so that everything that they did is a preparation from which onwards we now have to go out. Good luck.
A few announcements to conclude. A unity convention passing the light onto the world. Friends from the groups in Israel, we are happy to invite you to a unity convention where we'll discover together how to pass the light to the world. It'll happen on Friday, the 28th. And it'll happen in four places at the same time, Petach Tikva, Kfar HaNasih, Haifa, and Be'er Sheva. Inner Keys, the Tel Aviv chapter of Kabbalah La'am College, invites you to a meeting where you can speak, read, feel, and hear together. It'll happen on Thursday, 7 p.m. Israel time. Free admission.
And there's an introductory lecture all around Israel. Dear students and friends, we are happy to invite you to a free introductory lesson lecture tomorrow, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Israel time. Admission is free. For details, call 1-700-509-219 or go to kab.co.il/campus. And our education center in English is inviting you to the opening of the new free Kabbalah course, the spring 2014 fundamental semester. Take your life to the next level. Go to freekabbalahcourse.com. The first lesson will take place on the website on 8 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night. Wednesday night. Good day, great night.
הלוואי והייתי קרוב מסתובב עם הבלתי נתפס איך אפשר לבנות אהבה מרגיש כמו תינוק מיותם סוג של קנאה מתוקה הם מושיטים לי ידיים הם לא נותנים לי ליפול החברים שלי אתן להם את הכל הם מושיטים לי ידיים שקוף מילים מקסימות של אור רציתי איתם לעוף אבל הלב שלי שחור מסתובב עם הבלתי נתפס איך אפשר לבנות אהבה אך בכל זאת מרגיש מיותר סוג של קינה מתוקה הם מושיטים לי ידיים הם לא נותנים לי ליפול החברים שלי גבוה לשמיים לחברים שלי לחברים שלי הם מושיטים לי ידיים הם לא נותנים לי ליפול החברים שלי אתן להם את הכל הם מושיטים לי ידיים הם לא נותנים לי ליפול החברים שלי